chapter 14 of Matthew, beginning in verse 22, says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, this account takes place right after the Lord fed the 5,000, the multitude. And I've often thought about the logistics of those things. I mean, you pause and think about a crowd of 5,000 people, which is a considerable amount, and to think about speaking to 5,000, now that's the men, besides the women and the children, so the crowd was probably twice that in reality of all the people that were there, and yet the Lord was in their midst, and He taught them, and they fed them, and He took care of all of them. And then as they were dispersing, which I'm sure that many of them wanted to hang around after these things had occurred, because they weren't sure what had happened, how they had been fed with this great bounty, which started off with five loaves and two fishes. But the Lord told His disciples to get into a ship while He sent the multitudes away. So while the crowd was still there, He told His disciples to go get in the boat and go on to the other side. Now, I'm sure they must have been wondering, well, what's He going to do? But if, as you pause and think about what must have already been going through their minds, because those people in that crowd, while they were all fed and they were happy, they really had no complete understanding of what had actually occurred. Now, there was probably a few of them that were right around there, but they had no idea where that food came from. But the disciples did, because they were the ones that were right there. And so while the 5,000 were fed, it was the disciples whom the Lord really blessed in this miracle, because it was to them that He gave eyes to see something that occurred, just like the men that filled the water pots on the when the Lord turned water into wine at the wedding of Cana. You see, that was a blessing that was meant for them. Because the people that drank the wine, I mean, it was just wine to them. They didn't have any idea. But think about those guys that poured the water in the pot. He said, now we poured water in the pot. I know there was water in the pot because I put the water in the pot. And so it is that the Lord does things on a grand scale in the earth, but it is unto a very few that He is pleased by His grace to minister the truth of His Word and to cause them to see. Just like Brother Al brought out there a minute ago about the Pharisees. And they said, well, show us the kingdom of God. He said, I tell you, the kingdom of God's in your midst. You're right. It's right here. But you can't see it. Because the Lord has hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and He has revealed them unto babes. So while the multitudes of the religious world are fed by the fish, the five fishes, and the two five loaves and two fishes, while they're satisfied with that, and they go away and they're completely happy. I mean, listen, there's a bunch of happy religious folks in the world today. And I don't want to disturb their happiness. I mean, if they're happy, they're happy. But brethren, I'm not interested in eating the five loaves and the two fishes, but to be with the one who took the five loaves and the two fishes and fed the multitude. Now, you see, that's the place where blessing is. And that's the place where the people of God want to be, not just out here gobbling up fish and bread. I mean, fish and bread's good. I like fish and I like bread. And I like lots of it. And evidently they had more than they could eat because they took up 12 baskets full when they got through. So, it is a blessing to be numbered among the Lord's people. And so the Lord told His disciples, He said, y'all go on and get in the ship and I'll meet you on the other side. Now, they didn't know how He was going to do that, but at that point in time, they probably said, I don't know how He's going to do it, but He's going to do it. Because if they saw what He did, they were understanding that He was able to do it. So they just did what He said, and they got into a ship to go before Him to the other side while He sent the multitudes away. And when He had sent the multitudes away, He immediately rushed to where His disciples were because He was concerned about their well-being.
That's paraphrasing.
Yeah. But no. What did He do? He went to pray. And I'm reminded in this because the central character in this story is the same one whom the Lord came to. And He said, Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. He said, Satan has desired to have you. He's come to me and he said, I want Peter. Just give me Peter. Just give him to me and let me have my way with him. And just like he did with Job, he let him have him for a while, did he not? But he said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And I believe that when the Lord went to that mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come and he was there alone, that he was not praying for the multitudes that had been fed, but he was praying for those that he put in the ship. And he sent out into the night. And he prayed for Peter. Now, this particular account, it says in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea, but when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Because people don't walk on the sea. Do they? I mean, they've never seen anybody walk on the sea. Now, we would all say, man, we wish we'd have been there where we could have seen that. No, you'd have been scared to death. Because if you were out in the middle of an ocean in the middle of the night and you saw somebody come walking across the water, you'd be scared to death. You wouldn't know what to do. You'd be just like they were. And they said, it's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. And straightway, Jesus spake to them. And he said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, the Lord would comfort his people. And that's what the whole preaching of the gospel is for, is to comfort the children of God. That's what the preachers of the gospel are sent to do. Comfort ye my people. Speak comfortably unto them. Tell them that the payment is made, that the work is done, that I have laid up for them treasures that they know not of. Speak comfort to the people of God. Even as Jesus Christ came, speaking comfort to them, saying, be of good cheer, Zion, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come to thee on the water. Now, old Peter gets a bad rap in many cases. But now, think about this. He's the only one of the whole bunch that stepped out of the boat. He's the only one that said, Lord, let me come to you. Because you see, Peter knew if it was the Lord, that he had nothing to fear. Amen. He knew that, did he not? I mean, don't the people of God know that if it is the Lord who speaks to us, that we have nothing to fear? Sure we do. We know that. I know that. You know that. Every one of us knows that. But, oh, see, the Lord prayed for Peter because this wasn't something that the Lord was... when I was growing up, I was always taught, well, the Lord was just seeing what Peter was made out of. And yeah, old Peter, he messed up. No, Peter was Peter. Peter couldn't walk on the water. What was going through Peter's mind? When he said, let me come to you. I mean, how did Peter think he could walk on the water to start with? Craziest thing you ever heard of, isn't it? And so why is that amazing what happened? It should be amazing because every one of us have been right in the exact same place. Now, when the Lord said to Peter, Peter, come to me, did he think Peter was going to get out of the boat and walk over there to him? No, but he prayed for Peter. You see, he prayed for Peter because he knew what was going to happen, did he not? He knows the end from the beginning. There was never any doubt in his mind what was fixing to happen. But he told Peter to come. Why did he tell Peter to come? Because he loved Peter. He loved Peter. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. Why did Peter want to go to Jesus? Because he loved him. And he knew if that was him, that was the best place for him to be. He wanted to be with him. But when he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid, and he began to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. You see, the realization came over Peter when he stepped out of that boat that he had no strength of his own, that he had no power, and he was in an element that he could not function in. He didn't have any business trying to walk on the water. This was not a failure of Peter. It was just Peter being Peter. This was not some malfunction in Peter. Oh, if it had been me, I'd have just walked right on over there. You wouldn't have ever got out of the boat. But you see, the Lord prayed for Peter. He prayed, Lord, Father, be with Peter. Strengthen Peter. Help Peter. Now let me ask you a question. Was Peter helped or harmed by what occurred here?
Helped.
Absolutely. Because you see, the best thing that could happen to Peter was to begin to sink. The best thing. Think what would happen if Peter had walked over there and then he'd come back, you know, him and the Lord, they're walking back to the boat and they, you know, he's got his arm around him and the disciples get there and he gets in the boat. Yeah. Yes, sir, buddy. You just got to have faith. Buddy, you got to have it. And if you don't have it, something wrong with you. I've always been suspicious of you. But no, you see, Peter got out of the boat and it started to sink because he was Peter. And the Lord showed him that he was Peter. And he said, wherefore didst thou doubt? Not because he wondered why, but he knew that was the way of men. And he knew that was the way of Peter. And he knew that was the way of the men that he loved and those that he prayed for. And then he said, well, Peter, if you'd had faith, you wouldn't have drowned. Sorry, see you. That what, isn't that what's being preached around us? I mean, isn't that the message that's going out? Well, buddy, you just got to do it. I mean, you'd have been healed, but you just didn't have faith. And it's, you know, what can you expect? Peter, if you can't, buddy, if you can't walk on the water, you don't have faith, you're just going to drown. No, dear brethren. The Lord guided every step of Peter. Every step of the way to show Peter himself what he was and what his need was. And he said, Lord, save me or I perish. Because you see, I can't walk on water. I look around me and I can't stand, Lord. I can't, I'm going to fail. I know that I am. Oh, thou of little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Now, I don't believe he was upbraiding Peter. I believe he was merely teaching Peter what the situation is. Why do we doubt? Is it because there's some grievous error and if we could just get to a certain place, we wouldn't know? It's because we're what we are. Just like he said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would be done. And some people beat themselves over the head and they work and say, man, we just got to get that faith. We've got to get that faith and we'll make that mountain move. That's not the lesson. The Lord said, if you had the faith, you could do that, but you don't have it. But it's in me. Peter, it's in me. I'm walking on the water, Peter. You can't walk on the water, but I can. And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Because you see, the storm was put there for the purpose of bringing Peter to the place the Lord wanted Peter to be. Oh, what a mercy it is that the Lord will show us what we are by nature. There's no worse place for a man to go through in life thinking he can walk on the water. You see, a man's got to be taught that he can't walk on the water. And when a man learns that he can't walk on the water, then he begins to cry out to the one who can save him out of the water. But the Lord bid him to come out of the ship. A blessed place. The Lord calls on us many times to step out of the ship. And once we say, well, Lord, you told us to do this. You ever been there? Well, Lord, I felt like this was the thing you'd have me to do. But things are not working out. See, we think the Lord is leading us to do things because it's going to work out. No, the Lord often leads us to do things that He knows they're not going to work out.
That's not the purpose. He's not working everything out for us. He's causing all things to work together for good to them that love God who are called according to His purpose. Things don't always work out. But the Lord always works out for His people. See, He always has the best for those whom He loves. Why do we doubt? Because we're men, but thanks be unto God, He's that one who knows that we're dust. He knows our frame. And this is why He gave us this supper. Because He knows exactly what we're made out of. See, we talk about faith, believing, and all that stuff, but He gave us something that you can touch and you can taste. Because He knew we were the kind of people that had to taste and touch things. And He said, do this. And when you do it, when that bread is in your mouth and you can feel its texture there and taste it, remember My body, which is broken for you. And when you take this wine and it goes into your mouth and the aroma of it fills your senses, remember that I shed My blood for you. And be not faithless, but believing. Because you see, that is the place the Lord would bring His people to. But He knows what we are. And dear brethren, He was coming to the ship where His disciples were because He loved them. He called Peter to Himself because He loved him. He snatched Peter up out of the place where Peter was because He loved him. And He brought him back to the ship safely because He loved him. And He caused the wind to cease when the time was right. Oh, that the Lord might give us a mind today to see what He has done for us in the giving of Himself as a sacrifice for our sin.